Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for your time. Let's get straight into it. 2 days ago, the Premier announced a roundtable discussion about the housing situation, the housing crisis. Your response to that?
Well, look, if it changes anything, I'll be delighted. But unfortunately, 7 years has seen this issue of her own creation come to, you know, fruition. And we've seen media, the ones lead the charge to call for the roundtable. And now is an opportunity for us to seriously look at how we engage with the private sector to start to fix the problems that we've created.
Now, I spoke about the housing situation on Tuesday and the fact that the Premier had come out and said there's no need for a discussion. Well, then, as I was talking, the Deputy Premier, Stephen Miles, sent out a Facebook message saying the roundtable is on. So I'm not sure what influence I had, if anything at all, but it just goes to show that something needed to be done.
Indeed. And however we get there, I think this is an important step forward, that finally acknowledging that something needs to be talked about after denying all our calls from opposition, my questions on notice locally, me exposing the lack of budget spend, all those things. So hopefully across Queensland, we can start to see a real action on the dealing with this really serious issue.
Now, back on Tuesday, the Premier had a doorstop or a meeting. Media, whatever they call them. And this is what she had to say. I found this little line interesting.
During COVID, we saw an extraordinary response where we were able to house our homeless to stop the spread of COVID.
Basically saying there that we're able to find places to stay for people to stop the spread, and fair enough too. But now we can't find a place.
Yeah, look, it just goes to show that, I guess, you know, they really need to start listening to people that are giving them advice. There's been so many reports done now. The Auditor General, Productivity Commissioners, the Property Council have all provided really in-depth studies about what needs to happen, but continually ignored. There is an ideological difference here about how we deliver social and affordable housing, and it's the government's inability to work with developers and other builders. They want to do everything in-house, so hence the prices are high, it takes longer, and then we end up with a shortage of houses. We've got 50,000 people on waiting lists. So you're not only talking about homeless now, we're talking about people that are actually waiting for a social affordable housing. So it is serious. We just really hope that we can fast-track some land. State government's the biggest landowner in Australia. So Queensland government has about 80% of the land holdings. We can get on with the job. And I guess I would like to see some innovation, whether it's tiny homes or whether it's more modular type temporary accommodation. We don't want to create ghettos, but we have to be cognizant that these people need safety and they need a roof over their head.
There's a facility, I'm still getting my geography right with Queensland, but I'm assuming it's down south, called WellCamp. It's now sitting there, $220 million?
Yeah, if taxpayers' money went into that as a COVID project. They went alone because the federal government had questions about it at the time. It's now vacant, as I understand it. It's very sad. I guess it's a bad example of waste of taxpayers' money. But again, why wouldn't you offer that for people that are desperate? But I understand, so locally, people might still have jobs, but they physically can't get somewhere to stay. So I think the crisis, a declaration of a disaster or something like that needs to be made. Motel rooms that are vacant should be made available, particularly to those vulnerable who and the assessment needs to be done by people who are qualified. So I think we can do this, and people are reminded of 2013. We had a temporary camp set up at the showgrounds within 2 weeks to you know, house flood victims. It wasn't a great success, but at least there was some security around that. So it's time. It's been 10 years in the making of you know, the crisis, and we can't keep selling public homes. We can't keep underspending and underbuilding and expect to see a different result.
Member for Burnett, Stephen Bennett, joins me here in the studio this morning. Yellow Ribbon Day, you wanted to talk about that?
Oh, I just wanted to do a big shout out to the volunteers in the Rural Fire Brigade for yesterday, a traditional day that's very important on the calendar, and we acknowledge all those local fire brigades, men and women, volunteers that do so much. And if we can just do a shout out and remind people of the great work they do, I just wanted to take the opportunity to take Yellow Ribbon Day as an important institutional day in our calendar, and we all need to celebrate.
And it was announced yesterday that potentially Brisbane's Cross River Rail to the Elizabeth Line, in honour of course, for 70 years of service. And you wanted to sign a petition. How are we going to try and make this happen?
Well, look, I just think it's really fitting. When you think that the Queen in England this year in her Jubilee signed exactly the same thing. It was a Cross River Rail project in London. It's now called the Elizabeth Line. I think it's a really fitting tribute that we can have one of our major infrastructure projects, the first underground rail tunnel in Queensland's history, to be named in honour of Her Majesty's 70-year reign. And people can do that online by going to our Facebook page or finding it online. I just think it's worth, why wouldn't we call something respectful instead of calling it a Cross River Rail project? And let's take it away from being a vanity project from the current government, and let's make it something that all Queenslanders can celebrate.
Member for Burnett, Stephen Bennett, really do appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. It's 1332 4BU.